That did tire me out. You may have thought I was running in slow motion. That's about as fast as I can run, so. This morning you may have noticed that I'm going to be speaking on Olympic moments. I was going to subtitle my message, "If they're good enough for the Apostle Paul, they're good enough for me." Hey, this has been a great service so far. I want to thank Sarah and the worship team. Great job. And we sure appreciate all that is done that way. I want to thank the guys at the back, too. I was in here quite early this morning, and Tim Klassen was here. This was just after 7 o'clock, and I don't think we always appreciate just how hard Tim works for us. And today we have got Karsten multitasking. There is so many things that Karsten is responsible for this morning. Mike's back there. He does our podcasting. So let's show appreciation to this good team of fellows who... Hey, Rick, that was an excellent AOK report. And again, really excited about the team that went to Manitoulin Island, and it's really neat to get that. And then when I'm done here this morning, we're going to be commissioning another team who are going to be working here this coming week with the DVBS program. You know that I love sports. Now, I must tell you, about 12 hours ago, my love for sports wasn't there. I've known a number of you have asked, how is Mark? If you were watching the game last night, it was televised across southwestern Ontario. Mark ended up carried off the field on a stretcher. Heather and I made our television debut. We were on the field with Mark for several minutes as the paramedics were attending to him. I must tell you, the service at the Children's Hospital was excellent there at Vic. Mark still squeezes in. It's quite the thing to see Mark coming in and full equipment. He goes about 265 pounds. You got these other little ones, and he's resting this morning at home. Rob, thank you for your interest. I got your email first thing this morning. I was sitting beside Rob when the injury occurred, and appreciate Rob for your follow-up in that way. I knew Mark was okay when I got to the field. Mark face down, buried in the turf, complaining that he was okay and he needed to get back and play the game. What I like about Mark, the determination, and that's what I like about a lot of athletes. But at that moment, I kind of wish that we had pushed him into competitive tiddlywinks or competitive chess or one of those. The good news is they did win the game. Our Mustang team won the game, and they play next weekend for the Ontario Championship. But I love sports. You know that. The Byron Ball team this year, Josh, you've turned us around, and even though we miss you, Donna, and others who've played, we play a big playoff game, don't we, towards the end of the month against the dreaded West Park. They're Baptists, and you know what Baptists are like. So I'm just kidding. I love my background. Listen, my grandma Mackie was a diehard Baptist. To her, they were the Baptist and everybody else. So any of you who have Baptist background, please, I'm not wanting to be disrespectful. But I love sports. Apostle Paul was a master at using illustrations and metaphors to describe the Christian experience. And what's interesting is that so many of his illustrations and metaphors that he used to describe the Christian life, or what he called the Christian experience, were built around sports. In fact, I'd like you, if you've got your Bible, to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read just a few verses. This is going to be a shorter message today because of our special features, but I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, and I'll just read through to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to the end of the chapter, where Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul wrote this passage, as we've looked through church history, likely at the time when there were some big games going on. Paul lived in, he did a lot of ministry in the area where the Olympic Games were held. There were other games that were kind of like the World Games that may have been held at this time as well. But Paul was very aware of what was going on in the world around him, and it had to do with these athletic competitions. Just like, unless you've been living on another planet, you know that there's been a great focus over the last few days on the Olympic Games. And the world has been paying attention. Even across Canada, we've been noticing what's been going on with these games. So Paul was very aware of that as he wrote. There were some games that some events that we're still quite familiar with. Most of the events involved running, but there were also events that involved the javelin and the discus. So maybe some of you have seen those field events over the last few days. And boxing and wrestling were very, very significant. Now, boxing was very different back then. The wrestling would have been quite similar. There's, of course, nuances to wrestling today. So Paul was very aware of these kinds of events, and that was the backdrop for Paul in writing these words. We see Paul's utilization of sports in Philippians 3, where he talks about pressing on towards the prize. Now, I don't believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, but in Hebrews, the writer of to Hebrews, I'm quite convinced, would have been related to Paul. And we read the words about, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, we've got these clouds here in preparation for DVBS, and so it's kind of neat, isn't it, that as we are surrounded by these clouds today, we know that the writer goes on, let us run the race with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Christ. He is the ultimate goal. He is the ultimate aim and aspiration for those of us who are believers. Well, what I want to do, given that backdrop in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is I want us to think about two or three Olympic moments. And Karsten's going to help us out here. And at the end of the particular moment, I'm going to make a couple of comments. This first moment, it's about a four-minute clip. I want you to watch it carefully and listen to some of the commentary, because I think it's going to give you a little insight as we try to make some application into the spiritual life. So, Karsten, if you can show that video with focused on, that should be your clue. Okay, so let's show that, Karsten.
It's a clean start. Blake got away quickly. Here comes Bolt. Usain Bolt bringing it up, and he has done it. Usain Bolt is the repeat Olympic champion at 100 meters. And the time is 9:64.
What an incredible run, an Olympic record adjusted in 9.63 seconds. And this is the Usain Bolt we hoped would show up, and he certainly did. He needs this Olympic environment to be able to perform at his very best. Johan Blake, his training mate, is second in a seasonal best performance, ties his personal best, 9.75. These two best friends celebrate as they should. Incredible running by them. And Justin Gatlin, you called it, Dave. That was your dark horse for bronze. He sneaks in with a personal best by 1/100th of a second, 9.79 for the bronze medal.
He answers the questions with authority. Sets an Olympic record. Asafa Powell is once again left out of the medals.
You know, now the bulk party really begins. He didn't get the greatest start, but his pickup was terrific. He had to work all the way. And his great friend, his training partner, his biggest rival, Johan Blake, stood between him and the gold medal. But Bolt answered the question. The crowd are going ballistic. The Bolt party begins. He's defended his Olympic title and he's broken his own Olympic record. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful win.
And poor Asafa Powell relegated to last. It looks as though he might have injured his hamstring, limps across the line. He was the only man to finish outside that 10-second barrier. And the nation of 3 million people will celebrate hard tonight. Jamaican victory. And what a great run by Justin Gatlin. A personal best when it counts. 9.79. But tonight belongs to the Jamaicans. We were waiting for this rival all year long. And Asafa Powell not able to participate. The most prolific 100-meter runner ever. But he is really passing on the torch to the younger, faster Jamaicans.
So Bolt wins it, Blake second, Gatlin in third, Tyson Gay got fourth. Three men ran personal best in the final.
Bolt didn't get the greatest of starts. Gatlin was away well, and actually Blake didn't get a great start either. But Bolt's pickup was terrific. He came through the last 40 meters. Blake sneaked the silver, Gatlin the bronze, but the night belongs to Usain Bolt.
First time ever, seven men have gone under 10 seconds in the men's 100 final.
And the only one that didn't, Asafa Powell, pulled up, and I'm sure he would have done, but he pulled up with an injury. No waves this year, fought all the way to the line, dipped, and the victory. The victory probably he cherished every bit as much as his first one in Beijing 4 years ago.
And not often we get to see Usain Bolt actually dip at the line. He's usually celebrating, but he wanted this Olympic gold medal very bad. Didn't leave anything up for doubts. Leaning at the line, and Jamaica is going to party tonight. What a fabulous one.
Usain Bolt now becomes a favorite to do what no man in Olympic history has ever done before. Win the 200 back-to-back.
Wow, I've seen that particular run a number of times. Many of you have seen it more than once. My guess is many of you have seen it several times. And what a world we live in. I mean, in Paul's day, there may have been rumors about a fast runner, but there's no question that Bolt is the fastest human being. And through technology, we get to see someone. And you heard the commentators talking about the determination on Bolt, determined to get that goal, to win the prize. Are we like that in our Christian life? Do we have that kind of determination? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that that kind of gold medal, as much as the world is recognizing it right now, in eternity it's going to fade. It's not going to have any importance. But we are in a race. We are living the Christian life, and we need to be going for the gold. Someone once asked me a question years ago, great question. They said, what does a win look like in the Christian life? It's a good question. And I would argue it's living in a way that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. It's a different kind of competition. We're not actually wanting to see other people defeated. Actually, the Christian life is about service. It's about loving others. We win gold when others are lifted up. Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you need to serve others. Our AOK team have demonstrated that. There'll be people helping out this week with DVBS, who are demonstrating that. In many ways, here at the church, there are people who are serving others. And that's just a part of what it is to race for the gold. It's striving for Christ-likeness. I saw a couple of clips on Bolt where it talked about his training, how rigorous it is. Only just a few seconds, that race. But months and months and months of very strict training, cutting out in his life what would make it difficult to get the gold. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say no to sin? Are you willing to say, you know what? I could behave that way. I could be involved in that kind of activity. But no, I want to go for the gold. I want to live in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ. I want to love others and serve others in such a way that God, who is the ultimate audience, recognizes that great achievement. Karsten, I'd like you to show the next clip. This is another exciting clip from the Olympic Games.
Midway through that, Schmidt, Sesselman, now Christine Sinclair. Here's Sophie Schmidt on the edge of the area. Now Diana Matheson, one last chance for Canada. Sophie Schmidt takes a deflection. Matheson! Is that the goal that wins bronze for Canada? Diana Matheson in stoppage time. It's Canada 1, France 0. Sometimes you need a slice of luck, and Canada certainly got that. They've defended so well as a team for 90 minutes, and the ball falls to Sophie Schmidt in the box. Great composure. It takes a deflection off the defender, Bon Pastor, and falls to Diana Matheson. She side-foots home. Canada's only real chance in the game.
I thought we'd cheer. That isn't that exciting? I mean, now, in Canada, we don't go for the gold, we go for the bronze. But hey, listen, it was a significant achievement. Some of you saw the game, I know, because I talked to a few of you who saw the game against the USA, and that was disappointing. Maybe, Sally, it wasn't disappointing for you and some of our folks who've got some American background, but it was disappointing. And, you know, headlines, we got robbed. It would have been so easy for the Canadian women's team to just throw in the towel. Say, we gave it all, we had this great effort against the USA, that's really not worth going on. But in Scripture, especially when it comes to the spiritual life, even if we fall, even if we experience disappointment, even if there are stages of the race where we're going, is it worth it? Scripture encourages us, Paul does in Philippians 3, to press on, to keep going for it. In my opinion, France outplayed Canada in that game. But our girls did not give up. And there you've got little 5-foot Diana Matheson, 5 foot tall. And what determination. And didn't you love the moment? I mean, I hope we've got enough Canadian passion or pride where when she kissed the flag, I mean, that's what it's about, realizing that it wasn't as much a personal achievement, but she did it for the team. And in the Christian life, we press on. We keep moving forward, even if there's disappointments, even if there's setbacks, because we have that great sense that there is a greater goal. What a lesson from the Canadian women's team. Before we show, Karsten, I'm going to have a little delay. Did you notice that in our passage in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, I'm very careful when it comes to the race. He then shifts the metaphor to boxing. He says, I even train so strictly in terms of subjecting my body because I don't want to have this issue of disqualification. I didn't see the actual race yesterday afternoon, but the Canada's relay team. And apparently, they, on the big board, it said they had won the bronze, and there was great celebration. And then the tragic news that the Canadian team was disqualified. And we look at that word in 1 Corinthians 9. It's not something we often talk about, but this notion of being disqualified. And Paul says, what a shame. If I encourage, if I counsel, if I preach, if I try to challenge others to live in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ, and yet I myself miss the mark or I'm disqualified. And so it's a bit of a sober warning. But we need to live the Christian life in a way that prevents that possibility. It's why I've often stressed here from the platform, you need to live in a way that is consistent. Who you are in public needs to be who you are in private. And we need to have that kind of motivation. We need to live in that kind of way. And another moment that I found really interesting, and especially around the idea of training, I remember one night watching Mark's football team practicing, and in the distance, there were a couple of athletes out in, if you know TD Waterhouse Field, there's a adjoining field, and I was watching this one fellow in particular, over and over, throwing a javelin. And I thought, doesn't he get tired of it? He was throwing it over and over, and he had a friend who was helping retrieve it or whatever. Heather found out afterwards, she said, oh, that's a young guy. He used to go to Banting High School, and he's going to be in the Olympics. And I thought, wow, kind of neat just to be sitting here in the stands, and I'm able to watch somebody practice. Well, it turns out it was Darren Warner, the decathlete. I guess that's how you put it. He does the decathlon. And then I watched him actually another evening running around the track, just running and running. It's actually quite the thing to watch the training that goes on in track and field. And that doesn't even begin to address issues around diet and other kinds of things. The discipline and the training. And Paul says to Timothy, right in 1 Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Do what's necessary with God's help and by His grace to strive for godliness. I loved it when Warren was interviewed. A fifth place finish was just unheard of for someone that young, and I can't wait to Rio de Janeiro because I think he's going to do really great. But he was interviewed and he said, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm finding it very exciting. And he said, my coach says that whenever I try too hard, I really don't do that well. When I'm relaxed and when I'm enjoying it, I seem to do much better. And I think that's very true of the Christian life. There is a sense which we can try so hard it almost becomes legalistic. And we're not called to live a miserable life. We're called to live a life that is full of joy and full of happiness. And that's what I hope and pray for you. That with God's help and by His grace, you'll discover that, yes, we need to be disciplined. Yes, we need to be determined. But above all, this is a race. This is an experience that can be enjoyed and lived to the full. Well, we got one final clip, Karsten. And I think this is, you can cheer at the end of this one. It's to me a fabulous little clip. I got a couple of comments. And then we'll close off.
Karen Culver in the lead. And now Rosie McLennan, who did not watch Karen's routine. She was visualizing what she had to do.
They are best of friends, but they also have an extremely high-performing working relationship. Rosie is all about getting in the zone.
In the zone. Onto the trampoline. She, too, a chance to bring home a medal for Canada.
A great shot here. She's going to be really pushing the difficulty. Karen did a 14.8. Rosie is planning on doing a 15.6. It could give her an edge. She is such a gritty and tough competitor. She going to start things off with a lot of height.
There she goes.
Triff Pike. Oh, looking fantastic. Nice. Pushing right to the end.
And yes, fantastic. Good for her too. So Canada back to back. Puts it down. Challenges the rest to come.
Good work for these two ladies. There's nothing that feels better than hitting your routine in Olympic competition.
The only thing you do not have control over, though, is the athletes who are left, the Belarusian and the two Chinese superstars.
They have definitely cranked up the pressure. They've cranked up the heat here in the gym for those girls to follow them. Rosie has huge difficulty right here. I love the way she flips. It's faster than anybody else in this competition. Such an athlete. And here just pulling for that double twisting, double flip. And the dismount. She was planning on doing a Miller triple twisting double layout, but she just did the double double.
She may bump down her partner, Karen Coburn. And she has. She's leading. And look at that number.
Big score, 57.305. That is one of the largest scores we've seen.
Coming back, I feel like my head's bobbing as I. Not a wonderful performance, but you know, Rosie's story is incredible. And they often showed the clip over the last few days of the influence a special person had in her life. And she called him Gramps. And apparently, Rosie tried out for the games in Beijing, and it looked like she wasn't doing all that well, but her grandpa was in the stands, and he kept telling her, he said, you know what, I think you can make it, I think you can make it. And she squeezed into those games. It turns out her grandpa died just before the games in Beijing. And I thought, wow, I bet you he would have been so proud of his granddaughter. He was a gymnast himself back many, many years ago, competed in the Olympic Games. And I bet you he would have been so pleased and so proud. And Rosie readily credits all her family, but especially her gramps, who was so encouraging, so inspiring, believed in her when she couldn't even believe in herself. Paul had a special relationship with Timothy, and Paul felt, yes, great credit to Timothy's mom and his grandmother and other biological connections, But Paul had an interest, a spiritual interest. He was like a spiritual dad to Timothy. And when I think of the Christian race, when I think of the Christian experience, and one of the things I love about Byron Community Church is that we truly are an intergenerational church. And those of us who are older have the tremendous opportunity of inspiring, encouraging, and even challenging those who are younger. And what a wonderful thing, isn't it, to see a young man or a young woman, a young couple, striving to go for the gold. Now, they may have some disappointments. They may have some setbacks along the way. But we are in that position, as a church, as a community, to offer support and to offer encouragement. This afternoon, the closing celebration. They say it's going to be one of the greatest spectacles that this earth has ever seen. They say that millions of dollars, and there's all kinds of rumors as to who's going to perform and who's going to be there. I think it's going to be a neat event to see. But there is going to come a day when there's going to be a celebration that will just knock the socks off anything we think has been a worthy celebration here on earth. I can't wait to that celebration in glory. Some of you are going to get some really neat crowns, rewards, acknowledgement. Now, I do believe that one of the great moments in that heavenly celebration is that when you will be able to put that crown, to put that gold medal, to put that honor at the feet of Christ. Because in heaven, in that future celebration, Christ will be the object of honor and glory. Do you want to get the prize? Or do you want to kind of be on the sideline going, you know what? I could have lived the Christian life a whole lot better. I love the determination of an athlete. I love the discipline. I love those who suffer setbacks, who are willing to get up and go on. And that's my encouragement to you and to me this morning. May these Olympic moments that have transfixed the world over the last 2 weeks inspire us, and may we strive to live a life that brings honor and glory to Christ. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. If your life was seen in the perspective of an athlete, are you a person going for the gold? Have you settled for mediocrity? Are you living the kind of life that brings the Lord great pleasure? Or are you disappointed as the Lord is disappointed? Whether you're a young person or an older person, this morning can be a bit of a time of reckoning. Go for the gold. Let's strive for excellence in our Christian life. And Father, I ask that you'll take what we've considered this morning. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. I thank you for his varied interests. He'd use farming analogies. He talked about soldiers and the armor of God. But Father, for those of us who like sports, we thank you that he really enjoyed sports. And even, Father, today there may be some who just aren't as keen about sports. It's more important, Father, that we pick up on the message that in the Christian life, it involves determination, it involves discipline, it involves teamwork. Heavenly Father, it involves that sense of striving to finish well. And Father, above all in the Christian life, it's all about Jesus. Father, I pray for someone this morning who has never even begun to run the Christian race. Father, it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray even this morning that there may be someone who would say, I've been running aimlessly. I've been going through life trying to bring myself satisfaction, trying to find meaning and purpose. May that person realize that real life, real meaning, abundant life can only be found in Jesus Christ. Father, for those of us who are believers, help us to live the kind of life that brings you great pleasure. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that we have so many chances. I thank you that even when we fail, you're there to lift us up. So, Father, I pray that we will not be weary, that this message will not be one that causes us to have our heads held down. But when I saw Bolt with that big smile as he looked up to the sky, Father, I thank you that we know you are our source, that you are the object that makes us men and women of faith. You are the reason for our living. And so, Jesus, we thank you for being with us today. May all glory, honor, and praise go to the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.